You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring attorney, guest, and former felony prosecutor Eric Fardis.
Ruby Frankie, prominent YouTube personality, known for her Channel 8 Passengers and her business partner, Jody Hildebrandt, arrested following the distressing 911 call from the neighbor, finding the 12-year-old boy emaciated and covered in wounds, arriving at the neighbor's front door, his wrists and ankles bound with duct tape. He managed to escape from Hildebrandt's home. This, when I first heard about it, was like, how? How do we go from 2.5 million followers on YouTube and being a mommy blogger and influencer and people trust you to your children are duct tape and showing up at the neighbor's house? What kind of transformation creates that?
Yeah, you know, that was a question I had too, because look, as you said, there are so many eyes on this family and they're broadcasting, you know, they're parenting, and that's kind of at least a part of what they do on YouTube. Now, of course, they're only going to show the stuff they want folks to see, but my gosh, it was a chilling revelation to hear about these child abuse allegations. And I guess there's also allegations of malnutrition or starvation.
Yeah.
You know, we have children being bound, and it's everything. It's just very surprising, and a lot of developments are coming forth.
What do you think, I mean, is going on here? There was videos, obviously, she had a huge following for a while before she shut down her YouTube channel, but there were a lot of people looking at it going, well, that's not the best way to parent, but I think in many ways they're maybe unethical, but I know there was a whole lot of illegal activity that was truly going on. People were upset about many different incidences on her YouTube channel, some including a child forgot lunch and she didn't want to bring the child lunch to teach them a lesson, to please be responsible. I saw that and went, I think that's happened to me when I was a kid. I think a lot of us had that sort of thing happen and we learned. But there were other things too that went further on just being a very strict parent to go to this sort of an extreme. Do you think the public thought more was going on here? And obviously there was that thought. There was a GoFundMe, I can't think of the
change.org or something like that.
Yeah, there was a change.org or something of that nature to get the people in there, Child Protective Services, to take a look. And they did take a look, but found nothing. Is this something that was just very well hidden until today?
You know, as you said, there were kind of some red flags and some more astute observers latched onto those. And there was some outcry to go and protect these kids. Mm-hmm. Now, when these cases come up in child abuse cases, at least in Colorado and in other jurisdictions, there's a defense called reasonable parental discipline. Mm-hmm. And so that comes into play in spankings and, you know, sort of physical discipline cases like that. And the parent can argue, hey, look, this is my parenting style. I believed it was reasonable. And if the jury agrees, sometimes that's a defense of the allegations. The question will be here whether the discipline at issue alleged went beyond reasonableness. And I think there's at least significant evidence that it might have.
Well, and there's significant evidence, too, that even one of her children had been calling Child Protective Services and trying to warn them about the mother. This is the one who I believe is about 20 years old, is out in college. She posted finally on her social media once her mother was finally arrested. Why was this not investigated further when you literally have a child going, hey, my mom's crazy. She's abusing us. I'm out of here now, but you got to take a look at this. And still nothing happened. I know, obviously, CPS, we know, very strained on resources. But I don't know. When you literally have somebody waving a flag who's lived in that house and said, hey, there's something going on here. Was this a huge oversight? Or do you think Ruby and Jody had a great way of manipulating and hiding things when they were questioned?
You know, we've seen a number of examples, especially in the past 10 years or so. And some people think that the CPS system, Child Protective Services, is broken. Some people think that, you know, it goes way too far when it doesn't need to, separating kids from parents when it's unnecessary.
Yeah.
On the other hand, there's the criticism that it's not aggressive enough on some cases where you have these red flags and you have these accusations from children of parental misconduct and nothing is done, or at least nothing is done to prevent a future injury. And so I think we really need to, as a society, take a look at that system and see, is it a funding issue? Is it a personnel issue? Is it a standards issue? Is it a science issue? And those are all things that really need to be looked at, because I think any way you slice it, that system needs to be reformed.
When you look at it from your perspective, and you probably see it a heck of a lot more than most people working in law, if you were to say, here's what we need to do to fix CPS so it can function the way it was intended as an advocate for children who are being abused, not overstepping, not understepping, what would you say?
You know, one thing that I would strongly push for is evidence-based standards. You know, in CPS, for a long time, at least in my opinion, some of those workers would kind of just eyeball a situation. And of course, they had, you know, a system in place and checks and balances, what have you. But they would kind of just make a subjective determination about, you know, is this kid safe or what action should be taken? But I think if we really had some evidence-based standards based on studies regarding parenting, regarding children thriving, regarding nutrition, regarding discipline, that kind of thing, I think that those standards could help systemically improve the CPS system. And we'd all kind of have the same baseline and the same standards and understandings, and it wouldn't just be sort of a subjective determination by the caseworker.
You're consuming the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.